T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here he is. He's got a new boss now.
He has to work for Eric Spitz. What a lucky man he is. And that, of course, is the rather great Frank Isola. Frank, how are you?
So the NFL experience, you want to feel what it's like to be an NFL player?
No.
Back up about 20 yards and run full speed into a brick wall. That's what it feels like to be an NFL player. And just keep doing that.
Yes, it's there's a reason I didn't play it as a kid. I was afraid of getting hurt.
Oh, my God. It's
has
so
let's get down to business. Has Spitzy called you into a meeting yet?
No, I'm probably way down on the totem pole because you got the great Mad Dog Russo, and then after him, I don't think you have anybody else who's great. He's probably going through all the mediocre people, and maybe eventually he'll get to me and the great Brian Scalabrine, your former hero.
I don't know if this means anything to you, but I love Spitz. We used to talk almost every day, and I would always tell him that one of the shows I listen to a lot is you. I listen to you and Scalabrine. It's one of my favorite shows. And he's like, oh,
well,
that's good to know.
Well, wait until Joe retires in about 25 years, and I'll step in and replace him. And you and I could do it, even though I know that you love doing the show.
Well, first of all, that's not true. But second of all, is it really smart? Can I ask you a question? Is it smart? You have a new boss, and you're openly telling him, I can't wait to leave this company to go somewhere else?
I'm going to pull a Kawhi Leonard. I'm going to see if I could have any leverage. I'm going to demand maybe to be traded.
Well, what my opinion on this trade is, I actually love it from the Raptors on every angle. I really do. I don't love it for the Spurs. What's your initial take on this trade?
I like it from the Spurs' point of view because Kawhi kind of put them in a position where, you know, demanded to be traded, so everyone knew that, you know, they were looking to trade him. I didn't really like what the Lakers had to offer. So you trade him out of your conference, and you get back DeMar DeRozan, an all-star player. You get back Jakob Poeltl, who's a good player. You do get back a first-round pick, which is going to be a late first-round pick. But the Spurs have done a good job over the years drafting pretty late and developing players. And remember, you know, they had a good team last year, and Kawhi only played in 9 games. So now you're adding DeMar DeRozan to the mix, and the Spurs have a way of, of figuring things out. I just think it's amazing from a San Antonio point of view, where you look over the years, and Bobby Marks said it today, where it's draft, develop, and retain. That's how they kind of view it. And you look at David Robinson and Tim Duncan and, you know, Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. They keep these guys. Now, Parker did just leave, but they had him for, you know, the bulk of his career with Kawhi Leonard. Here's a guy who's a finals MVP. We're not used to seeing the San Antonio Spurs like this. And I say it all the time. Now every team in the NBA and really sports teams everywhere should be happy and say, you know what, everyone's dysfunctional. It's not just us. If the San Antonio Spurs can be as dysfunctional as they were this year, I guess there's hope for everybody.
And now they aren't what you described anymore because the core of the team is not guys. I mean, there's some guys that they drafted, obviously, but not LaMarcus Aldridge, not DeMar DeRozan, not Pau Gasol, not Rudy Gay if he's there. You know, it's a lot of just, and here's the problem. They'll win a lot of games. This is why I disagree with you. They'll win a lot of games. But weren't they better off, if it was out there, and I understand that's a big caveat, to go more in the direction of young assets to try to rebuild this franchise? Because really, what's the future of the San Antonio Spurs?
Well, I think they look at it where, you know, where LaMarcus Aldridge is and Pau Gasol. So they have older players. So I think their feeling is, we were a playoff team last year, we'll add DeMar DeRozan. And remember, you know, DeMar DeRozan really up until game one against Cleveland, where he could make a shot, and then game three, they put him on the bench when Toronto had that big comeback. He had a big-time year last year. He received MVP votes. He was certainly a top-10 player in the NBA last year just based on performance. Now, granted, he's in the Eastern Conference, but the team did win 59 games. He plays hard all the time. He's durable, doesn't really get hurt. And, you know, he's kind of going kicking and screaming to San Antonio, which I actually think kind of bodes well for Toronto because they have to prove to Kawhi Leonard that he wants to be here. And obviously, DeMar DeRozan, a California kid, L.A. kid just like Kawhi, wanted to stay in Toronto, but I think when DeMar DeRozan gets to San Antonio, I think he's going to love it because you know how it works in San Antonio.
Yeah.
It's a one-sport town. They love that team. It's a great organization, and I think, you know, for him, I think it's great.
I think he's upset that he got lied to. I think that's his problem. He was probably told, you're not going anywhere, and he feels blindsided. I'm sure that's where the anger comes from, more so than I don't want to go to San Antonio. But my concern with him, and he is a very good player, there's no doubt, but A, he's not Kawhi Leonard if Kawhi's healthy. He's 29 years old, who's played a lot of minutes in his career, and he's not signed to a great contract. He's making $27 million a year this year, 27 next year, 27 the year after that. So I like him. I get it. I mean, he stepped up his game shooting the three last year. He's still not a great three-point shooter at all. So that's the aspect that scares me, his age, his minutes, the contract.
Well, no, I think straight up, Kawhi Leonard is the better player. There's no doubt about that. But San Antonio was in a position where, you know, they weren't going to get so-called equal value, but I still think they made a pretty good deal considering the position that Kawhi Leonard had put them in. I like the deal better than anything that they were going to get from the Lakers, especially if the Lakers weren't going to include Kyle Kuzma in any deal. And I still don't understand why the San Antonio Spurs would ever consider, unless they had a deal that completely blew them away, why would you want to trade your best player to your rival? And everyone in the Western Conference views the Lakers as their rival. Why would you trade him to the Lakers just to make LeBron James and Magic Johnson happy? Those would be the last two guys I'd make happy.
I get that. Were the Celtics and Sixers not offering anything? What were the best offers from them?
Well, it didn't seem like, you know, they were going to get Jaylen Brown for him. And I don't know about the Sixers deal. I mean, Dario Saric and maybe some other players. I don't really know if that was such a great deal. I think they were looking for more of an established player. And I think they get that in DeMar DeRozan. Jakob Poeltl had a very good season last year. Coming off the bench, he'll fit right in San Antonio. They've had a million international players over the year. I like the trade. To me, I like the trade from the Spurs standpoint because it was clear that they weren't going to keep Kawhi Leonard. And then from Toronto, this is a big one for Masai Ujiri. He's taking a huge gamble here that they can convince Kawhi Leonard over the next 12 months, that Toronto's the place for him to be, because he talked about going to the Lakers. Now, I think, you know, the most recent example of that is, of course, Paul George, who, when he got traded Oklahoma City, a lot of us thought, well, there's no way he's staying. I remember talking to people in the Pacers organization. They couldn't believe that Oklahoma City made the deal because they kept saying, this is going to be a rental. It'll be a rental. He will not stay. Not only did he stay, he didn't even give the Lakers a meeting, which is interesting. That doesn't mean that Kawhi Leonard could follow.
But it shows you things can change. It shows you things can change very quickly. But
yeah, but wouldn't you agree, though, that from a Lakers standpoint, I think it's pretty fascinating because it always used to be LeBron is going to go somewhere.
Right.
He's going to Miami. They have Dwayne Wade there, and they can recruit Chris Bosh. Then he's going back to Cleveland, where they already have Kyrie Irving there. And then LeBron, if you remember his touching letter to Cleveland when he lied and said, I always thought that I'd finish my career in Cleveland, which isn't true. But he never mentioned the words Andrew Wiggins because he knew that they were going to make a trade to get Kevin Love.
Right.
So he kind of went there with the established players. We're in L.A., no Paul George, and now they're not going to get Kawhi Leonard. Now the idea is, well, we'll wait until, you know, maybe they'll wait until next year. Well, he's going to be 35 in December of that following season. And I'm not saying that he's going to fall off anytime soon, but you have to start wondering. You mentioned minutes played and games played for DeMar DeRozan. How about the games and minutes played for LeBron James? And I still say that LeBron went there. I still think it's more of a post-playing
situation. He didn't go there to win. Because if he went there to win, he would have had more assurances that a guy like Paul George would follow him and not basically waste a year of his career. Because they're going to waste a year of his career. They're not winning anything next year. So,
Evan, did you hear Rich Paul? He was on with NBA TV last week. And he said, you know, when LeBron went to Miami, it was about his legs.
Right.
And then he went back to Cleveland. It was about fulfilling a promise. Now he's kind of been, you know, he's earned the right to make a move that's going to make him happy. The Lakers are paying him $153 million just so he can be happy. Aren't they paying him that much money because he wants him to win? They never use the word championship.
No, I know. And this is the one place besides Boston that where if you go there, you better win a championship. You know, being good and competitive or getting to a finals, or that's not enough in there. He has to win a title there. Or how does he compare to any of the other Laker greats? He doesn't. So he could do what he wants. He's a free agent. It's the beauty of free agency. You can do whatever the hell you want. Doesn't matter what I think, you think, or anybody else. But clearly it's not about winning. There's no doubt.
And that's why I thought, all right, so if they get Kawhi Leonard, that all bets are off. And Paul George would obviously improve it. It's just very interesting that he went there. And he met with Magic on, you know, the night of June 30th, technically July 1st, as if we all didn't know that LeBron was going to the Lakers. Yeah. Everyone knew that for over a year. But no Luke Walton meeting. And then he finally met with Luke Walton on Sunday. But between that, he met with, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, Al Pacino, Channing Tatum, and maybe he met with Spielberg and Barbara Streisand as well. But it seemed like he met with everybody in Hollywood except for his head coach. If I'm Luke Walton, I can't be feeling good about this. I'm sorry.
We know what the whole deal is, that's for sure. Back to the Kawhi-Toronto aspect, and we're talking to Frank Isola. See, I don't really think there's a lot of risk from the Raptors because let's say the worst-case scenario, either it doesn't work and he leaves or he doesn't want to show up or whatever it is. They've cleared this contract of DeMar DeRozan, and now they can do what they probably need to do anyway, and that's knock the whole thing down and rebuild. And I think that you've made it easier to begin that process by making a trade like that while also in the process clearly giving you a better chance at winning if Kawhi Leonard shows up and plays. That's why I don't even think the negative for the Toronto Raptors is that high.
Well, I do. Well, no, of course, you never make a trade thinking that, you know, eventually we're going to lose this player, we're going to trade him. So they're making that trade, believing that they can keep Kawhi Leonard. But to your point, you know, plan B for them would be Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka with big contracts. Their contracts come off the books after the 19-20 season. So that would be following next year. And obviously, if Kawhi left, he'd be leaving this summer. And I think that for them would be plan B. Then you break it all down and kind of start over again. And I think it's worth it from this standpoint, from the Raptors, because LeBron is not in the Eastern Conference. So now you look at who's the most accomplished players in the East. I mean, Kyrie Irving won a championship, but he also did it as the second best player in his team.
Right.
Kawhi Leonard won a championship as the best player in his team, was a Finals MVP, and he would have won a championship the year before had he been able to make a free throw and Tony Parker make a free throw and Manu Ginobili, whoever missed those free throws down the stretch, and Ray Allen made that big time shot in game six. So easy could have been a 2-time champion. But he is the most accomplished player when healthy in the Eastern Conference, and he's going to a team that won 59 games, and LeBron James is gone. If I'm Dwayne Casey, I demand to have my job back.
And you know what's funny, Frank? I think we all agreed that the Raptors had to do something, right, after what happened. It didn't need to be both, which was trading a part of the core and changing the head coach. If they had made this trade, then wouldn't we all be in favor of keeping Coach Casey? Like, why would they get rid of him?
And also, too, with Dwayne Casey, when he was the assistant coach in Dallas, he was the guy that was largely credited with coming up with the defensive game plan against Miami that in the 2011 NBA Finals that really did a great job on LeBron James, and Dallas went on to win their one and only title. I feel bad for Dwayne Casey because Toronto, the mental toughness of that team probably isn't where you needed it to be, and you're going up against LeBron and the Cavs, and all during that playoff run, all everyone kept saying was, LeBron is having an unbelievable playoff, one of the greatest playoffs we've ever seen. He could be the greatest of all time.
Right.
And then after these games, everyone was saying, hey, more on Dwayne Casey. Why can't you stop this guy? If I'm Dwayne Casey, I'm thinking, you're all going insane. He's the greatest player of all time. And now you want me to stop him with who? Who do I have on?
Poor guy got hoses, no doubt, but at least he landed on his feet. Hey, real quick before we let you go, will the Knicks and Nets, with all the cap room they have next summer, do you think either team or both team land one of the sexy free agents?
I think that somebody will. And maybe it'll just be a guy like Kemba Walker, but I think Kemba Walker would make either team very good. The Kyrie Irving thing will be very interesting because, you know, we've heard the connection with Kyrie and the Knicks, but I think Kyrie and the Brooklyn Nets would also make a lot of sense. My only thing is, Danny Ainge in Boston, they're just going to let Kyrie Irving walk to New York. And they're not going to do anything before. They don't even think, A, that they're going to be able to keep him, or B, they're not going to get rid of him first. I just can't. I'm not saying that Kyrie Irving isn't going to end up in New York. I just think there'll be a team in between that. I just don't think that Boston would let that happen.
Yeah, we'll see. That should be interesting to watch. Frank, always appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Evan. Take care.
Frank Isola writes for the Daily News. Does he write for the Daily News? He still write for the Daily News?
Yeah.
It's for the Daily News. And he hosts a radio show on Sirius NBA Radio. Gonna come back, the little football.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.